Take your Bibles with me, turn to John chapter number one. John chapter number one. Tonight I want to talk about Peter's path to and his pursuit of Jesus Christ. As we begin this message, and I plan to end the message in the same way, I want you to stop for a moment and I want to think about your path to Jesus Christ. Who was it that God used in your life to bring you to Jesus Christ? And then also I want you to consider your pursuit of Jesus Christ. He has given all of us the command to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. What particular part does he want you to play in fulfilling the Great Commission? First of all, here, John chapter number one, let me begin by reading verse 35 down through verse number 42. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house tonight. Lord, I do thank you for the word that you've given to us. And as we've read that word, and now as I bring this message, I ask, Lord, for your help. I ask that I would be empty of myself so that I might be filled with your Spirit. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word now in each and every heart, each and every life of each and every one who hears this message. Lord, please be glorified now through this time, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First of all, let's look at Peter's path to Christ. And as we talk about Peter's path to Christ and as well his pursuit of Christ, you're going to see several other disciples in the mix as well, but we're going to focus mainly on Peter tonight. First of all, I want to talk about the role of John the Baptist. The role of John the Baptist. Mainly, he preached Christ. He preached Jesus Christ. In verse 36 of our text, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. Earlier in chapter 1 here in the book of John, in verse 29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." By the way, that's an amazing message right there, that one sentence. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And John's attitude, I believe, can be clearly seen in chapter 3 here of the book of John, in verse number 30, where he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John the Baptist, his ministry was not about himself. It was not about his own dynasty or gaining his own followers. His ministry was preaching Jesus Christ. He proclaimed that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God, and that he is the Savior of the world. We talked in chapel today about what Jesus said in John chapter 3, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You know, the importance of preaching Jesus Christ can be seen all throughout Scripture. I want to remind us tonight of why the preaching of Jesus Christ is so important. Number one, it's important because of those who have been blinded by Satan. Again, we read these verses in chapel this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." I want to remind you of those tonight who have been blinded by Satan. Now, they can be wonderful people. They can be moral people. By the way, probably many of them are very religious people. I'm not sure, but I believe probably a very great number of those tonight who are spending an eternity in hell are very religious people when they were on this earth. Satan uses all different kinds of things to blind the minds of many, to turn them from looking to Jesus and looking at everything else. And you and I need to be preachers of Jesus Christ, proclaimers that He is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior of the world. But not only because of those who've been blinded by Satan, number two, because of those who have never heard the gospel. Those who have never heard the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Really, that's missions in a nutshell. But again, I want to remind you tonight that probably everyone here has had the great privilege of hearing the gospel more than one time in our lives. We have probably heard it multiple times, time and time again, and we need to thank God for that. But tonight I want to remind us of the many, probably even millions of people in the world who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. By the way, many people who have never even heard the name Jesus, let alone the good news of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Oh, we need to be preachers of the gospel because of those who have never heard that gospel message. But also, the Bible tells us we need to be preachers of the gospel because of those who know not God. They have heard of God, maybe they've heard of Jesus, but they don't have that personal relationship with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." There are so many today who know not God. They know of God, but they do not know Him personally. And the only way that we can know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, the importance for you and I to be proclaiming to the world that Jesus is the Savior. He's the only way to the Father. And it's our responsibility to be that kind of preacher. And having mentioned that, let me just stop for a moment. I understand that this is a Wednesday night crowd. But perhaps you're here tonight, and as I talked about these things, you said, "Well, yeah, yes, I am religious, and I thought maybe that would possibly get me to heaven." Or perhaps as we talked about hearing the gospel, maybe you've heard it, but you've never made it personal in your own life. Or perhaps you know about God, you know about Jesus, but there's never been a time in your life when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so that you could begin that personal relationship with God Himself. Oh, dear friend, this church in and of itself will not get you to heaven. Good works will not get you to heaven. Oh, dear friend, if you're here tonight and you're not sure, 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, I would beg of you, seek one of us out after the service. Come at the time of the invitation and say, "Listen, I want to know for sure that Jesus is my Savior. I want to be the one to proclaim to you that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but He wants all to come to repentance." But there's one other reason that we need to be preaching Christ, and that is very simply because we've been commanded to. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's pretty simple. That's pretty plain. And we just need to obey what Jesus Christ has told us to do. John the Baptist was a faithful preacher of the Word of God. You and I need to follow that example. Because he was such a faithful preacher, two of his disciples followed Jesus. We assume one of them to be John, and we know that the other one is Andrew. And by the way, I love it that John didn't say, now hold on, does this mean you're not going to follow me? No, he encouraged them to follow Jesus. The Bible says there in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And boy, try to picture as this takes place. Jesus turns and recognizes them. He saw them following him and says, what are you seeking after? And they said, Rabbi, teacher, master, where do you dwell? And he said, hey, come and see. And the Bible says that they abode with him that day. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear things like that, I get just a little bit jealous. That must have been absolutely fabulous to sit with Jesus throughout the day. I'm not sure what all they talked about, but I'm sure Jesus proclaimed the fact that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe that was the turning point. That was the time of conversion for these men. And now, as we've looked at the role of John the Baptist, number two, I want us to look at the role of Andrew, Peter's brother. The Bible says there in verse number 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon. And he said unto him, we found the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ. He's the anointed one. Here he is. Let me take you to him. And the Bible says in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. You know, one of the things that I like when I see this story is that Andrew was not required to take a 10-week soul-winning course before he was allowed to invite someone to come see Jesus. And you know, it's helpful for us. We need to be memorizing Scripture. We need to find better ways to be soul winners. I don't doubt that. But you know what? At its simplest form, we just need to be going and finding others and saying, hey, let me show you Jesus. Come with me to church. Let me take you to get some coffee and a donut. Let me tell you about what Jesus Christ has done for me. And we need to be an Andrew and bring others to Christ. See, he kind of has this reputation in Scripture. In John chapter number 6, he was the one who brought the lad with the loaves and the fishes to Jesus. He also, along with Philip, will bring some Greeks to Christ later on in John chapter number 12. Well, that's a good reputation. I want to have that kind of reputation. We need to be like Andrew. And again, I remind you, as we think about the Great Commission, a great portion of the Great Commission is the first part, which is go. Go. By the way, without the go, you don't have anything else. You see, Andrew was one of those go people. He went. He found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. And you and I need to be those go kind of people to do what he has told us to do. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And then I love this part in verse 42. The Bible says, and when Jesus beheld him, that is Peter, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, I'm not going to get into all the things that we could in that, as far as that name that Jesus gives him, but this one thing I want to emphasize. He gives Peter this new name, representing this, if you will, new start in his life and what Jesus had planned for him in the future. Do you realize that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he gave us a new name too? It's the name Christian, a Christ one, a follower of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we need to live up to our name. We need to be a Christ one, a follower of Jesus Christ. Peter got his new name. Now, what happens next? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but apparently they went back to their fishing business, but they were new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, I love the next part of this story. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew, chapter number 4. And this is Peter's pursuit of Christ. Peter's pursuit of Christ, or if you will, his official call into the ministry. Matthew, chapter number 4. I want to begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. We see here this official, if you will, call to service. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he sees Simon, he sees Andrew, and he says to them, hey, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Perhaps they didn't understand exactly what that meant, but they knew who this was. It was Jesus, and he was saying to follow him. And the Bible says that straightway or immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Also, the official call of James and John are found in the next verses. And as Jesus continues on, he sees James and John, and they're in the ship with Zebedee, their father. They're mending their nets, and he called unto them as well. And the Bible says in verse 22 that they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. As we think about the official call of Peter and these other disciples, there's five quick applications I want you to think about with me tonight. Number one, I want you to think about their past. Their past. You see, when Jesus calls these men, he does so based on their past, using their previous experience. He says, you were fishers of fish, but now we're going to use what you've learned there to be fishers of men. You know, it's interesting to me how God trains us for the next step of service that he has for us. By the way, many times we don't understand or even know that he is training us because we don't know what's coming. But that's how God works in our lives. And God allowed these fishers of fish to learn what they were learning so that it would help them as they move forward for Jesus Christ in his service to be fishers of men. You think about it, especially in this day and time, fishers of fish, fishermen, they had a lot of patience, a lot of courage to be fishermen, to be a soul winner. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of patience. Fishermen need to learn from other fishermen where to find the fish and how to catch them. The same for soul winners. We need to learn from others how to catch the fish and where to find them. They also had to work together. And you know, this soul winning thing, it takes some cooperation within a local church. And you know, some water, some plant, some pull some weeds, but you know, some get to pick the fruit. But this is something we need to work together on. And also, fishing demands faith. Why? Because you can't see the fish. But by faith, you drop the net. And the same with the soul winners. We go out, we may not see the fish, with the men, the women, the boys, and the girls that God would have us to witness to, but we go out by faith, trusting him that we will see some saved. So Jesus Christ knew their past and uses that past in preparing them for what he has for them in the future. And that's exactly what he does for you and I. The second thing I want you to see here is the potential. Number two, the potential that Jesus sees in them. He says that he would make them fishers of men. Not that they already were, but there were some things they needed to learn. So he said, I will make you fishers of men. He would give them the training that they would need, and he would be with them all the way. And for you and I remind you tonight, John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus says that without him, we can do nothing. But I also remind you of this truth. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. You see, Christ sees and knows our potential. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing. But with his power, with his blessing, as he gives us the training that we need, we can do whatever he asks us to do. You know, I'm so glad the Bible says that we are laborers together with God. He comes alongside of us and says, hey, I know what you're capable of, even though we doubt it. He says, I know what you're capable of. Here we go. Let me train you. What a wonderful thing. Their past, their potential. And then also, I want you to notice their position. What position did they have? Well, they were fishermen. They had a productive business. It was a family business that they had. So when Jesus said to follow him, he was saying, hey, leave all that you've ever known and enter into a life of unknowns to follow me. And I'm so glad that they straightway left the ship. They left their nets and they followed him. I remind you tonight that we walk not by sight, but by faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews goes on there in chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. We need to walk by faith, even though possibly he's going to ask us to leave all that we've ever known to enter into a life of unknowns. I don't know who is here tonight as far as possibilities of full-time missionary service and who God may be calling into that line of work. And perhaps if God's been speaking to you, you've been a little uneasy, not sure, how would all of this work? You know, I've got this business or I've got this position that I hold now, and boy, it's secure and I like it, and I've got my 401k and everything is set. But you know what? Perhaps God's speaking to your heart and he's saying, follow me. If he's saying follow him, follow him. Do so by faith. Trust him. Walk not by sight, but by faith. Here's another thing, number four. I want you to see and think about priorities. Priorities. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know, as they were asked to follow Jesus, they were leaving not only their position, but their families. The Bible says that Zebedee, their father, was in the ship with them. Can you imagine what it must have been like for them to say, see you, Dad. Don't know when we'll see you again. We're following Jesus. You say, wow, how can they do that? Can I remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 10? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What about your priorities? What is or who is the highest on your priority list? Is it family or is it God? Sometimes that's very difficult to determine because, boy, we love our family, but we need to love God even more. And sometimes it's difficult. We think about the fact that these men left their father. But you know what? Sometimes I stop and I think about Zebedee. I wonder how he felt. Can you imagine being that father and watching your sons who you've trained almost all of their lives and a good majority of your life, and now they are leaving? Now what do I do? Can you imagine him as a father trying to think all of that through? Can I just throw something out to you for free, something that I keep seeing often as I travel? If you are a parent or a grandparent, would you please allow your children and your grandchildren to follow Jesus Christ? It saddens me when parents hold back their children and say, well, you know, if you're going to be a missionary, man, God may take you to some place I've never even heard of, and you may get some sort of disease, and, boy, we may never even see the grandkids ever again. The best place for your children and your grandchildren are right in the very center of God's will. Let me encourage you to follow the example of Zebedee and give your children and your grandchildren to Jesus Christ, to follow him. There's one other application I want to make here, and I want you to see their promptness, their past, their potential, their position, their priorities, and now their promptness. The Bible says that these men followed Christ immediately, straightway. They left their nets, they left their father, they left their boats. Can I encourage you tonight, if God's speaking to your heart about being a missionary, if God's speaking to your heart about witnessing to a coworker, to a friend, to a family member, if God's speaking to you about something very particular when it comes to the Great Commission or just the Christian walk, obey him and obey him immediately. Don't wait. The psalmist said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. we need to follow what the psalmist did. By the way, I'll just remind you of this, that Satan, after God speaks to our hearts, he will come in, Satan will come in, and he will cast doubt. You know, Satan, he's pretty smart. And he's not going to come and he's not going to, you know, say to you, hey, listen, you know, living for the Lord, following Jesus, being a witness, you know, that's dumb. You shouldn't do that. He's smart enough not to say that. But by the way, one of the things that he'll love to use is, well, that is good and that's okay, but not now. You know, this, why don't you wait to do that? Because let's wait until everything's in place and everything's just perfect. And then if he calls you again, then follow him. Hey, listen, don't fall prey to Satan's temptation to delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And we've used that as parents with our children. Hey, we are the children of God, I believe. God the Father says to us, delayed obedience is disobedience. And you and I need to be, if you will, prompt in following Jesus Christ. So once again, as we close this out tonight, I ask you to contemplate your path to Jesus Christ. Who was it that God used in your life? Was there a John the Baptist? Was there an Andrew who showed you that path to Christ, who took you down that path and introduced you to Jesus Christ? If so, stop and thank the Lord for that person or those people that God allowed to come into your life. But I would also encourage you to take the next step. Ask God to help you to be a John the Baptist, to be an Andrew, to bring others to Jesus Christ. But then also, would you consider your pursuit of Jesus Christ? You know, it's a privilege to be saved, but with every privilege comes responsibility. Are we indeed pursuing Jesus Christ? Are we following His will for our lives? Perhaps we've thrown up every excuse. Well, I'm just not qualified. I can't do that. Listen, we've seen tonight, Jesus Christ took a bunch of fishermen and He changed them into fishers of men. If Jesus can do that with them, He can do that with you. He can do that with me.